Hi, everybody. Before we get into the program today, let me explain to you why you should become a subscriber at subscribestar.com/wrongthinkradio. We want to be funded directly by our audience. We don't want to have to worry about whether or not the information we bring you sells more pillows, dick pills, or gold. We want to have the voice of the people behind our program. So stop listening to programs that tell you how to think and start listening to a program that tells the world what you think. That's subscribestar.com/wrongthinkradio. It's only $2.99 a month to help support independent media.
You're about to enter the intersection of common sense and facts, where media bias ends and truth begins. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrong Think Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Wrong Think Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Bierlein, broadcasting from just outside the nation's capital in beautiful Northern Virginia, and welcome to the intersection of common sense and facts. And here's the news of the day for the 3rd of August, 2020. It's the home stretch going into the election, everybody. And as we've seen, there are some polls that are coming out that are not actually showing real good chances for Joe Biden. Now, granted, they're polls, so let's just be honest there. But also, let's just be realistic for a second. There's a lot of signs that we're seeing coming from both the Democrat Party and the media that suggest that Joe Biden really is not doing well. We know that the Democrats are desperate. They're in the middle of a civil war right now, like what we talked about on our weekend program, which you can also find at youtube.com/wrongthinkradio. And we've talked about for a while, there's been a huge battle going on between the Democrat, like the really progressive side of the Democrat Party, in reality, the activist class, as we refer to them. And then there's kind of your more old guard. And I'm not suggesting that the old guard is any less crazy liberal or Marxist as the activist class. It's just more of the fact that they've gotten used to being able to craft certain narratives to sound different. Basically, they're better at lying to the American people. Now, us on the right have always known that the end result of Democrat policies is to push us more towards communism and basically towards a state with which these elites on the coast run everything and they just take everybody's money and distribute it as they see fit. It's an oligarchy, in reality, is what they're trying to build, but they're always on top. And what we're seeing is a lot of different narratives that are kind of clashing together because the Democrat Party is losing control of itself. It doesn't have a coherent message, and it sure as hell doesn't have a coherent candidate. And so you can see the desperation coming, like our first story here, which is Joe Lockhart, Bill Clinton's former press secretary, is basically begging Joe Biden not to debate Trump. Now, they're going to try to dress this up in some sort of flowery language by suggesting that, you know, Donald Trump lies all the time, so debating him is pointless. But that's not really what they're worried about. We've noticed the fact that Joe Biden does not make public appearances. When he does make public appearances, he sort of lets the cat out of the bag by when he's getting ready to do a press conference and he says, oh, hang on, let me get my list. Well, that's because there are pre-approved questions that his campaign has set up. We saw this actually in the leaked emails from the Democrat National Committee that there will be journalists who will submit the questions that they're going to ask the Democrat candidate prior to their press conference so they can give the most gleaming sounding answer possible, as opposed to what journalists are supposed to do, which is ask a question and get an honest answer. The entire media is basically in the bag for trying to be Democrats. Part of it's because they want to be part of that elite class that runs the country. And that's where every journalist believes they belong in the liberal media. So the idea of Joe Biden going out on a debate stage, even though the debates are always rigged up by the liberals. We know for a fact that Hillary Clinton was given debate questions by CNN. We know for a fact that those all of the people that sit there and host these debates are typically in the bag for the Democrats and will softball questions to Joe Biden and then will give scathing rebukes of Donald Trump. Joe Biden could literally lie the entire time and would not receive a fact check from basically anybody. Or if he did, you would never see it nor know about it. Point is that they're terrified of the idea of Joe Biden going in front of the American people. It's just like what we saw with the email releases that came from WikiLeaks in the 2016 election. The thing that horrifies the Democrats most is the idea of the American people knowing exactly how the Democrat Party works, knowing who their candidate actually is, and knowing what their candidate actually thinks. That was the threat to democracy that Democrats were so concerned about with WikiLeaks. And the threat to democracy now is anybody realizing just how bad Joe Biden is. Democrats want everything to be produced in a Hollywood basement. They want everything to go through a vetting process, everything to be written down and scripted like it's a movie, because they treat everything like it's a movie. Joe Biden's not a real candidate. He's not a real person. He's just a puppet of the globalists, and he needs to say what they tell him to say. God help the Democrat Party if Joe Biden starts trying to think for himself. We've seen what happens when he does. It doesn't look good, and it certainly is not boding well for the idea of him taking the presidential or taking the presidency come November. This is a party in desperation, and they're making a lot of moves that point to the idea that they are worried and scared. Now, additionally, one of the things that is going on when it comes to the presidency as of now is Donald Trump has signed an executive order prioritizing American workers over H-1B visas. Donald Trump signed the Hiring American Executive Order, which requires federal agencies to only hire American workers for their competitive service. And it calls on the Department of Labor to finalize guidance regarding H-1B visa workers, where the guidance is that companies are not allowed to get an H-1B visa for an employee and then have them change to another job, which could force an American out of a job or force a job, basically put an H-1B visa worker in a job that could be filled by an American. Now, when we have dramatic unemployment as we do, I think, and there is one, Donald Trump has signed a moratorium on H-1B visas, but I don't understand why we need to import foreign workers at all if we have any unemployment in this country. It's shocking to me right now that it took an executive order from the President of the United States to tell the federal government that they should prioritize their own citizens. It's shocking to me that we live in a country where somebody has to do that. And it's even more shocking that that's considered a controversial move. The liberal media and the Democrats are excoriating Trump for signing this executive order. It's apparently controversial for the President of the United States to think that American citizens should be put to work first before we start importing other people from other countries. It's considered shocking that a president would suggest that companies should be rewarded for hiring American workers and keeping their operations in the United States rather than outsourcing to other foreign countries. I don't know how anybody can support a political party that finds that wrong. What do Democrats believe if they consider it to be awful or bad or racist because the American president wants to support Americans over anyone else? That's sort of the fundamental of a government. If our government isn't going to support the citizens first, then what's the point of the government? Who does the government serve if it's not their own citizens? Why the hell should I care whether or not somebody can get cheaper labor in India? Why the hell do I care if somebody in a different country can get a job? Why should I go, or anyone in the United States, go without a job in lieu of someone who doesn't even work here nor have citizenship? That doesn't make any sense. The idea that these feel-good, dumb policies actually work is really upsetting, and it's time that America just faces the facts that these platitudes are stupid. It sounds good on the back of a cereal box. sure, it sounds great to say that we're helping everybody else out by letting other people come to this nation. But should we be doing that if there's anybody unemployed? Should we be doing that if there's homeless in the United States? Should we be doing that if people are underemployed? Why? Why should we be giving jobs away when there are Americans who can go hungry? Why should we be giving jobs away when there are Americans who cannot work? Why should we be giving jobs? Why should we be allowing businesses and not punishing them for leaving this country just so they can save a few bucks? None of that sounds very American to me. The point of being American is to support America. And we should encourage that. We should strengthen that. I'm glad to see that the conservatives have finally gotten wise to the idea that Americans are pretty pro-America, and they've sort of stepped back from the neocon stuff that we saw in the early 2000s, where as long as Nike made a few extra percentage in profit that year, it's fine that they're using slave labor in China. I'm glad we're getting away from that, because I don't care about the economy of China, and neither should you. Nobody should. It's ridiculous for anyone to ask you to do so. This is a good step in the right direction for the Trump administration, making it to where he's making a very defined stance that he's going to stand up for American workers. And it's a good campaign strategy, too, to get Democrats to basically say that it's awful, evil, and wrong, and even immoral for Donald Trump to want Americans to work first. I think that that's a great campaign strategy. I think it's great that American workers who are sitting right now in lockdown, concerned about the economy and the future of their jobs and how they're going to pay their bills, are now going to have to listen to Democrats talk about how awful Donald Trump is for not wanting to give those jobs away to foreign workers. This was a really good step, and the media and Democrats couldn't help themselves. They're stepping right in it. This was a good move and aptly timed. I just hope that it's not just political trickery for votes. I would like to see these kinds of policies continue. I want to see Donald Trump actually put forward an American first objective. There's no reason for us to be bringing foreign workers in right now. If we have an unemployment rate, we don't need other people to come here and take jobs. The market can figure that out, but our market needs to support America. We're not here to be everybody else's piggy bank. I don't care about the economy of India. I don't care about the economy of China. Their government should care about those economies. It's their government's responsibility to stand up for their citizens. That doesn't mean that I'm completely about isolating ourselves from the global market, but the point is that a nation's purpose is to serve its people. You can't tell me that it's better for the globe if we just sacrifice ourselves for everyone else. That's ridiculous and stupid. And the fact that people have gotten away with saying that without being roundly rebuked is part of the problem that we see ourselves in. Another story that we have here is the police chief in Seattle has sent a letter to the city council because a mob of protesters were outside her home. Seattle's police chief Carmen Best wrote a letter to the city council stating that her neighbors had to basically stop a group of protesters who were attempting to trespass into her yard and commit what she calls other illegal acts at her home. So they know where she lives, and they want her to know that they know where she lives. This is how Black Lives Matter and Antifa work. Now, Portland's been on fire for, 60 days now? Something like that. And then Seattle, similarly has not died down. The Daily Mail just leaked out some of the video of the George Floyd arrest. And I think that a lot of this comes on the heels of the fact that these protests were kind of dying down. And Democrat politicians, arguably, I will say too late, have realized that Americans are disenchanted. And so I wonder why this video got leaked out of the George Floyd arrest from the body cam footage, which was not supposed to be put out. We've covered that months ago about how Keith Ellison, the attorney general and former Democrat vice chairman of the DNC, how he was basically throwing the case. He's charging Derek Chauvin with murder one, which means he's going to lose the case. And that's the point, because they want to try to lose it as close to October as they can. And the October surprise will be more of this rioting and people screaming no justice, no peace. But it's all been planned from the beginning. Now, the leak out of this video could go one of two ways. One way is that it leaks it out, and so they don't get the same chutzpah, I guess, for lack of a better term. They don't get the same push that they would if they hadn't if it hadn't been leaked out and then the jury trial occurred. The other thing is it could have been a Democrat move or a liberal move to try to reinvigorate the protest, because let's be honest, the protest started, everybody thought it was about George Floyd, and then very quickly it turned into Marxist destruction and craziness. So maybe this is a redirection attempt. I'm not sure. I don't really see the Daily Mail one way or the other, but I think maybe the leaking of this footage could have been to try to reinvigorate the protest back into talking about George Floyd, because they were so quick to go into burning down all of the buildings, taking down every statue, destroying America, burning the flag, burning Bibles, and hating white people. Maybe they're trying to redirect it. Maybe not. It could also just be another distraction. Like I said, poll numbers did just get released. And if you look at our page, actually, if you go to wrongthinkradio.com, or if you check out any of our social media pages on Twitter or Facebook, you'll see that we put an article out early this morning covering those polls. And I mentioned in that article that you should prepare yourselves for another crisis, because Democrats will try to distract and try to do anything that they can to try to swing those poll numbers back. They're not looking good for Joe Biden, but they never should be. Any poll that says that Joe Biden's in the lead, I don't know about that, because literally nobody knows anything about the man. What the hell is he going to do if he's president? Nobody has any idea. He doesn't go out and talk. He doesn't go see anybody. People typically probably forget that he's even the candidate. Point is, this could just be misdirection. It could be trying to incite more riots, or it could have actually been something more aptly planned to just try to take the wind out of the sails of what they're going to attempt to do, which is try to get this case done and over with as close to the election as possible, so they can scream no justice, no peace, in hopes that that would get enough of those idiot liberals out to the polls to vote for Joe Biden. Now, our final story for today, well, a couple of stories. An Illinois Democrat has called for schools to stop teaching history. LaShawn Ford, a Democrat in the Illinois House of Representatives, has called on the state to stop teaching history in public schools. Something about liberalism says that you have to rewrite history to fit your narrative. If you don't have this pre-born narrative, then you have to rewrite the history. And the reason why is the history doesn't look good, A, on the Democrat Party. History also doesn't look good on things like communism and Marxism. So you have to rewrite that history. And that history, invariably, when rewritten, is always about how America, the West, white people are all evil. Just look at the New York Times' 1619 project, where they literally lie about history just to try to paint some sort of racial overtones in everything and turn everybody into little social justice warriors who believe the liberal line. To make it even worse, this is rampant and exposes just how bad education really is in America. We have teachers' unions around the country that are refusing to go back to work because of coronavirus. But in reality, when you look at their demands to go back to work, it has little to do with coronavirus. Defunding the police, Medicare for all, Democrat talking point, Democrat talking point, Democrat talking point. So they're holding your children and their education, and obviously the future of our country itself, hostage until they get their Democrat talking point, Democrat objective. And this is what unions do. This is why unions should just be roundly abolished. They're nothing more than an apparatus of the Democrat Party to push socialism and hold the American people hostage for goods and services. Now, one of the things that's occurring is I believe it was in Wisconsin, there's teachers that are putting up gravestones outside of schools to let children know that they will die if they go back to school, because that makes sense. That's right. Bullying kids and scaring them over something that actually doesn't really affect kids at all. There's no evidence that it affects children, is fatal whatsoever to children, unless, of course, they have a pre-existing condition and mommy and daddy can figure out if Junior has a pre-existing condition pretty easily by consulting an actual doctor, as opposed to people on MSNBC and on in the mainstream media. Now, the other point, too, is with how these unions are acting and how education has just been hollowed out, is you have in Maryland, they were trying to shut down all, well, actually, it's not just Maryland, it's Democrats nationwide are also trying to force private schools to shut down. Because, private schools, a lot of them are opening on time. They're doing what needs to be done to calm down the Karens and everybody in the PTA when it comes to coronavirus. But they're going to open on time and they're going to teach in person. And so the Democrats are freaking out and trying to get private schools to shut their doors as well. And the main purpose and reason of that is if private schools, charter schools also, are able to open, but public schools aren't, people will quickly see through the facade. They'll be able to see that all of this is just a lie. It's just more fear porn and fear mongering by the Democrat Party to try to make everything seem awful and stress the American people out. So then they can point and say, oh, it was this person's fault. That's all this is. And the problem is that if some of these schools open, people are going to realize, look, this really isn't that bad. Nothing bad is happening. Your kids could go back to school, but the teachers' unions are just lying to you to pressure you into Democrat BS. Well, they can't have that. Luckily, at least in Maryland, though I'm not a big fan of the guy, Governor Larry Hogan did, in fact, stop a bill that was going through that was going to force, or well, he basically did an executive injunction to stop a group from shutting down private schools in a county. I believe it was Montgomery County. I'd like to see more governors do this inside their states. And even if you have a Democrat governor, you should demand schools be open anyway. We need to start putting pressure on these people. I know it's difficult because of the way that they've basically commandeered everything and actually really kind of took their hands off of everything when it comes to how these how this pandemic is working. They just constantly blame the White House, which makes me wonder why do Democrat states need governors if those governors are incapable of literally doing anything without the president telling them to? That's not really how this country is supposed to work. But if the governors are willing to abdicate their responsibilities to their citizens, then I think maybe the Republicans should just come in there and take up the responsibilities that the Democrats can't. They would do a far better job because at least they believe in civil liberties and people's ability to, I don't know, make their own decisions like educated adults, as opposed to a nanny state where we're all treated like children and talked down to. The point is that the closing of the schools has nothing to do with coronavirus. It has everything to do with continuing to hold this country hostage in the hopes that they can just make it so terrible that you might consider voting for Joe Biden. That's the reality of this. Everything going on right now is all about the Democrats trying to seize power. It's all a lie, and it's crisis after crisis after crisis for them to just try to keep people scared, nervous, and then make the country really feel like it's falling apart. That's their hope. That's their only strategy. And how sad is it that that's their strategy? Luckily, a lot of Americans, I know it doesn't seem this way, but a lot of Americans are seeing right through it. People are tired of this. Just because they're going along with mask mandates, it's because they don't want to debate with the manager at the store, because that guy can't change the rules. But people are sick of it. They want to go back to work. They want their kids to go back to school. They want life to go back to normal. Right now, the American citizens are given two pictures of America in the future. Picture number one is the liberal media and the Democrat Party. And to that picture, they constantly call this the new normal. All of this awful stuff that's going on, these riots that are occurring, the mask wearing, the lockdowns, the economic uncertainty, the idea of people just patrolling, screaming at you because you're not wearing a mask, the constant fear, the misinformation, the fact that no matter what happens, even when the numbers go down, it's still terrible, everything's awful, you're going to die from this virus, but it never came from China, all of that. All of that is the Democrat Party. They call it the new normal. They will gleefully tell you things will never go back to normal. That's what they love. This dystopian hellscape that you see before you is the new normal. It's the thing the Democrats want, where everybody's locked down, everybody's kept in their houses, everyone's kept in fear. Cities on fire if they don't comply. Business owners are being held up by Black Lives Matter and told that if they don't pay money, they don't get protection. That's happening in Louisville. This is the Democrat Party's America. And then there's the other America. The America that's going to go back to normal. People will go back to work. People will go back to work to a strong economy that's going to start right back up again. Kids going back to school. I know it looks crazy, But Americans see that. Vote Democrat and get a hellscape. Masks, fear, you know, intimidation, racial, just constant racial disdain, near civil war, anger. Or vote for Donald Trump, where he's protecting American workers. He wants people to go back to work. He wants kids to go back to school. These are defining lines, and it affects everybody's life. Unlike politics before, it was hard getting people to engage politically before because you had to try to get them to connect to it personally. But this connects to everybody personally, and people are tired of it, and they're seeing the two different parties on full display. So which party do you think the American people want? Most Americans are coming around. I have had conversations, a lot of conversations, with people who previously were politically agnostic or socially on the left. And they're coming to us. They're asking us questions. They want to know how to get involved. The Democrat Party overreached dramatically. It's annoying. It's infuriating. I'm not saying it's not. But we're lucky that they showed their hand like this. We're lucky that we have all of these examples we could point to and say this is exactly what we've been talking about for years. We have that example. And Americans are seeing that example. And they're coming around. They're asking their friends. They're asking us questions. They want to know what they can do. They want to know how they can make sure this doesn't happen again. And that's a good thing. Doesn't mean that we've won, and it doesn't mean we don't have work ahead of us, but we're heading in the right direction. Keep pushing it out there. And remember, when you see videos of things going on, violence in Portland, crazy disparities in information on COVID, share it. Share it out. If you see it on Wrong Think Radio, share it out, of course. I would love that, but share it from anybody. Because remember, the mainstream media is not showing that. And the Democrats haven't figured out that people can look up information on their own. Share as much information as possible. Your friends and neighbors depend on you. The media is failing them. They're not telling them the truth. But people are turning away from the mainstream media. They're coming to channels like Wrong Think Radio. They're looking to you. People who share alternative information, people who share information from sources that aren't funded by the Democrat National Committee. And that's where we can win, everybody. If you like this analysis, be sure to subscribe. Just go to youtube.com/wrongthinkradio. You can subscribe there. Don't forget to click the bell up at the top so you get notified every time we post a new video. You can support our program at subscribestar.com/wrongthinkradio. It's just $2.99 a month, and you get a special subscriber-only podcast. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And if you have any comments or questions, leave them in the comments below, or you can email me, which is contact@wrongthinkradio.com. I'm Aaron Bierlein, and I'm keeping an eye on the left.